Let's begin our EMP today. Let's go to Luke 15 and from verse 11 onwards, let's read it together. So the parable of the lost sons. Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set out for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to be a citizen of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' So they began to celebrate." And this is actually more of my message today. "Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. 'Your brother has come,' he replied, 'and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound.' The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, 'Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours who has squandered your property with prostitutes comes home, you killed the fattened calf for him.' 'My son,' the father said, 'you are always with me and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.'" Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for Jesus and his teachings, Lord, and his parables. Lord, this morning, speak to us. I pray that you would make this parable come alive. I ask that you would just quicken our hearts, Lord. You would give us ears to hear and hearts open to receive the message that you want to give us this morning. And Father, we don't want to just hear it and let it tickle our ears, Lord. We want something, Lord, that to be deposited in our spirit, Lord, something life-giving. Something that would give honor and glory to you. So come, Holy Spirit. We thank you, we love you, and we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, as you guys remember, Pastor Nate actually kind of preached on this a few weeks ago on Father's Day. And the reason I'm preaching again is... Actually, the day before, Pastor Nate on Father's Day shared about this story and about the father and the sons. I went to Elim for the first time in a very long time, and this book called The Prodigal Son by Henry Nouwen, I just happened to randomly pick it up, and I ended up reading a lot of it, and I was so struck by it, especially this part about the eldest son. And then, the day after, Pastor Nate shared from that book. And then, 2 days later, I was listening to another podcast, a sermon podcast, and this person, this pastor's message was on this book. So I felt like, at the very least, the Lord was saying something to me, but then I felt like there was something that the Lord wanted me to share with during an EMP session. So that's sort of the background. So I apologize that it's something very similar to what Pastor Nate shared, but I asked him, would it be okay if I shared something similar again after? And he said, go for it if the Lord is speaking to you. So here we go. Now, I guess normally when we read the story, and if you see that chapter headings, it normally says the story of the prodigal son. Right? So a lot of times we focus on the prodigal son and we realize that, oh yes, what a bad sinner. What a bad son. He shouldn't have done that. And of course, that we understand that. And then we come to the part about the eldest son, and we also say, oh, that, and a lot of people say, oh, that son, that eldest son was never really a son. Oh, that eldest son was such a bad son. And maybe he was off and watching his younger son partying as well, and maybe he had gone partying as well. So essentially, he was not a good son. And we don't have such a great image of the elder son either. But I think for me, and maybe for other people, I don't really think a lot of the times that I might be the eldest son. Like, I actually think I might be the prodigal son, the younger son. Oh, Lord, I'm so far and off for you. I went off. I spent your money, whatever. But I don't think a lot of us who are sitting, you know, who come to trying to do our discipleship and who are trying to spend time with the Lord, I don't think a lot of times we think we're the eldest son that much. And that's what I wanted to really share on today. Because I realized that actually I have a lot of the eldest son mentality, more so than I would have imagined. Because after I had this time of those three times that God kind of pointed this story out to me, I spent some time praying, and then some circumstances happened, and I realized more and more how deeply this deception is. That I have of this deception, and I really act like this eldest son scenario. So a test for whether you are the elder son or not. Can we go to Matthew 20, verse 1? So we can read it together. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire workers for his vineyard. He agreed to pay them a denarius for the day and sent them into his vineyard. About 9 in the morning, he went out and saw others standing in the marketplace doing nothing. He told them, you also go and work in my vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right. So they went. And he went out again about noon and about 3 in the afternoon and did the same thing. About 5 in the afternoon, he went out and found still others standing around. He asked them, why have you been standing here all day long doing nothing? Because no one has hired us, they answered. He said to them, you also go and work in my vineyard. When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, call the workers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last ones hired and going on to the first. The workers who were hired about 5 in the afternoon came, and each received a denarius. So when those came who were hired first, they expected to receive more. But each one of them also received a denarius. When they received it, they began to grumble against the landowner. These who were hired last worked only 1 hour, they said, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the work and the heat of the day. But he answered one of them, I am not being unfair to you, friend. Didn't you agree to work for a denarius? Take your pay and go. I want to give the one who was hired last the same as I gave you. Don't I have the right to do what I want with my own money? Or are you envious because I am generous? I guess this parable doesn't really make a lot of sense in our earthly wisdom or our earthly rationale, does it? But how often do we ourselves think the same way? For instance, maybe it's about someone at work who is doing better than you. Are you really happy for that person at work who is doing better for you? Maybe it's someone, one of your close friends, who is just about to get married. And you have obviously wanted to get married, and you are struggling with loneliness. Are you really happy for that person? Maybe it's something about you've been trying to get pregnant, and you have been working very hard, you're a couple, at trying to get pregnant. But can you be happy for someone who is your friend who is just gotten pregnant? I mean, I guess I'm just going to let that sink in a bit. To be really happy and joyful for someone who is receiving what you have really desperately wanted. I think a lot of times we can agree that maybe we are more of this elder son than we presume, than we think. You know, in that book, Henry Nouwen, he shares about this instance where he was particularly lonely, and he had reached out to a friend and said, "Hey, could you hang out today?" And the friend said, "Oh, I'm sorry, I'm too busy." Later on, there was a party that night, and he ended up going, and he saw his friend there. And when he saw his friend, he was so incensed because he felt so rejected by his friend that he saw him, he walked in, then he just got so mad, he slammed the door, and he walked out. Forget about looking nice or like all his other faculty members were there, his colleagues. He just slammed the door and left. He was just so hurt. See, when I read this parable today, starting from verse 25, I really feel for the elder son. Because look at this. "Meanwhile, the older son was in the field, and when he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. And the servant told him what had happened. And then the older brother became angry and refused to go in." So if you're someone who had been working during the day, you were working hard, and then as you come near the house, there's a party going on, and essentially, from the eldest son's perspective, he might have felt like, "How come no one called me? There was this great party. We're having this amazing party. I'm carrying the tools. I'm coming back home. No one thought to come and get me." I can see why the elder son would get angry. I think I would get angry in the same scenario. Does this make sense? I think we have to start by being honest. We will not be able to deal with this issue until we actually recognize that why we might actually be hurt, why we are actually struggling. Because I feel like for a lot of us, the reason we are stuck in the eldest son mode is because we don't even realize what is going on in our heart. What is really going on in our heart when we say, like the eldest son, how come you didn't call for me? How come I'm not invited to this feast? We are really thinking, I have been rejected by God. I am not loved by God. He does not care about me. So number one, we need to be honest. That what are we really thinking? No more religious facade. I mean, no more let's just come to church and we do our thing and do the religion and do the... what's the point? We have to be honest and actually realize we might have this the same deception that the elder son is struggling with. That I am not loved, that we think that we are not loved, we think are rejected, we think we are not cared for. You know, one of the things that I always realize without even realizing that I think this, but when I'm honest, I realize sometimes I get stuck in this thinking. I think that I'm a pawn in God's chess game. I really think I am just a pawn that God, to advance his strategy, I'm a pawn that can be sacrificed. God has this greater plan. And, of course, as his servants, we should say, God, yes, I'm on your team. Of course I want you to win. So, I will sacrifice myself. I will willingly sacrifice myself so that you can advance the cause of the team. I think we really think this. But the honest truth is, we are not pawns in God's cosmic game. First of all, it's not a game because he already won. Satan and God are not equal. And with Jesus at the cross, he already won the victory. So no game, no chess game. It's done. Second, we are not pawns that God is using to move forward his agenda. Instead, we are all his queens and his kings, the most important thing on his chessboard. We are not pawns used by God to move forward his agenda. We are all the focus of his eye. We are the focus of his agenda. We are not the pawns. We are the focus. And we are the kings and queens. We're the most precious pieces on the chessboard. Does this make sense? Can people nod if this makes sense? But can we be honest? How often do we think that we are just pawns? This is not true, my friends. This is not true. Why do we know it's not true? Well, first of all, we can go to the Word. And I know that maybe this one short sharing is not going to break this stronghold, but I really feel like it's a stronghold slash a central, really a root misconception that we live with. And I think the Lord really wants to cure us of this deception. So we go to the Word. We go to the Word. It says, the older brother says, I've been slaving for you. Yet you never gave me even a young goat. And what does the father say? But you don't understand. Everything I have is yours. But I actually thought, because you know that everything I have is yours, I thought when I'm happy, you would be happy. See, that is the truth. God, because in God's economy, in God's kingdom, it is not about lack. It's about abundance. It's not about, with God, he could take one loaf and make it 1,000 loaves. Just say the word and it could happen. So in the kingdom mentality, how the Father sees it, he's like, what do you mean? I could give you 1,000,000 right now if that was the right thing for you. Why are you not trusting me? Why don't you believe that there is enough? But because the son, the elder son, doesn't believe that, this is why he's thinking along this line, isn't it? Or those vineyard workers that we read about. See, let's go and read the parable of the workers, right? I'm just going to highlight it. At about 9 in the morning, he went out and saw others standing in the marketplace doing nothing. Like, I think this vineyard owner, his main drive, if you keep on reading the text here in Matthew 20, he saw others standing in the marketplace doing nothing. And then he went out again about noon, and then about 3, and then he did the same thing, and then in 5, and he found others still standing around. So he asked them, "Why have you been standing here all day long doing nothing?" And the workers said, "Well, no one hired us." And the vineyard owner said, "You also go and work in my vineyard." See, I think what's interesting here is, you know, think about it. You're a vineyard owner. You don't go out, when you normally have a construction project, you go out at 9 a.m. during the first of the day. You know how many vineyard workers you need. I mean, you don't go out into a construction project and say, "Okay, 9 a.m., this is my project. I need to get this done today." No construction foreman says, "I need 100 workers, but I'm only going to start off by hiring 20 workers, and then I'm going to hire another 20 workers, and then I'm going to hire another 20 workers at the end of the day." I mean, right? No one starts off a construction project that way. Same in this. Do you think the vineyard owner did not know that he needed 100 workers? He, I think, hired all the workers he needed at the beginning of the day. He did not need, in our earthly sense, he did not need to go out at noon, at 2, at 3, at 5, and go out again to the marketplace to hire more people. I mean, that's not any rational businessman would not work that way, would he? So why did this vineyard owner go out at these other times? Why? I don't think he was driven just by the motivation that I need to get my job done. The vineyard owner took pity on these people and said, "Hey, how come you've been standing here all day long doing nothing?" And they said, "No one hired us." And then the owner said, "You go and work in my vineyard." Do you see what I mean? The vineyard owner, he just wanted, out of love, to give more people work. He didn't care about the bottom line. I don't think he cared about, am I being efficient use of my capital and my labor? His number one motivation was to bring more people into the vineyard. Give them work. Don't let them just be late. Just let them feel bad about themselves and have nothing to do. But his motivation was love. And so, at the end of the day, he feels like he's been so generous and so kind and so loving. And so he's giving out the wages and he's trying to be generous. And then these other laborers come and say, "Hey, how come you're paying us the same as them?" Despite the fact that they had agreed on that wage when he hired them at nine, they come and they say, how come you're paying us? So, and it's very interesting, isn't it? Because he goes ahead and he pays the later ones first. He didn't need to do that. He could have paid the first ones first, but he decided to pay those last. And so the expectation is building. Yes, okay, we're going to probably get more now. Yes. And then when they get the same thing, they're so hurt. They're so angry. Because they're like, I should have gotten more. Well, how come you're giving me the same? How come you're treating me the same way? See? Because their mentality was not the kingdom mentality. Their mentality was, I don't have enough. This farm is not mine. This vineyard is not mine. I don't care what, I mean, none of, I don't have enough. And so I need to scrounge for more. I need to make sure I'm getting a better deal than these other people who came. Whereas the vineyard owner, his motivation was love. His motivation was giving these workers self-worth, giving them an occupation, a vocation, making sure that they were not just wasting their time and they didn't feel just wait and just feeling like they were useless. But do you see what I mean? It's such a key difference. When you think from the kingdom mentality, of course, the farm is mine. It's all mine anyway. I mean, it's my father's, but because it's my father's, it's mine. When you have $1 trillion, actually, if you have an orphan mentality, even if you have $1 trillion, you're going to feel very, very angry that someone has $1 trillion plus $1. But if you're a wise son with the kingdom mentality, when you have $1 trillion, you don't really care if someone has trillion plus another $1 trillion. But very often, we don't think that way. Actually, I honestly, I think most of us, we have this eldest son mentality. So let's begin, not by throwing stones at the elder son, which, and maybe this is just me, but a lot of times when I read this story, I always threw stones at the eldest son. I thought, what a, man, such a bad guy. Oh yeah, he probably went and he probably went to the prostitution houses too. That's why he knew whatever and that his younger son was doing this. Or man, what a bad son. But let's take a mirror to our own hearts. You know, because and no one says this too. He was saying in the midst of he was such a renowned scholar, right? He taught at Yale, he taught at Harvard. He was well-renowned globally. And yet, supposedly, I guess this guy, he always suffered from feeling rejected. He always suffered from feeling abandoned. So he even actually left his post at Harvard, and he went to serve at this community of disabled people because he felt the Lord calling him there. And while he was there even, he was constantly, I guess, talking with some of his mentors and saying, am I the elder son? Am I the younger son? Oh, I wonder what I am. Which son am I? And actually, one day, a good friend sat him down and said, Henry, I need you to understand something. What the Lord wants you to be, he doesn't want you to be the younger son. He doesn't want you to be the older son. But we are all called to move beyond ourselves and become like the Father. When I read this statement in that Elim bookstore, I was just floored. I sat still for like 5 minutes while I was processing this. We are all called to be like the Father. Not the younger son, not the older son, but to be like the Father. Yes, to be like the Father is painful. To be like the Father is not going to be a joyride. Just like our Father in heaven, it's not a joyride for him either. Every time someone betrays you, every time someone slaps you in the face, every time we have to be vulnerable, even though we love, vulnerable, someone hurts us, then the Lord, Father God, He continues to open Himself to us. He continues to make Himself vulnerable to us. He continues to love us. We are called to be like the Father. But how can we get there? Not from religion, not on our own strength, for sure. We get like the Father once we are filled. Well, first of all, we need to really get rid of this lie of the enemy that we don't have enough, that God is not enough, this orphan spirit. We need to ask the Lord to really heal us fully, fully go deeper and heal us of this, break this deception off of us. And then number two, we need to be filled with the Father's love. Because this deception prevents us to have a deeper revelation of the Father's love. It's actually, it goes together, doesn't it? When we have a deeper revelation of the Father's love, this deception hopefully breaks off. So that's it. Maybe if we can turn on the instrumental. Maybe just quietly. Let's close our eyes. It's hard to be like the Father when you're like the elder son, feeling like you're rejected. You think you're rejected. You think your Father doesn't love you. You don't realize that the farm is yours. I feel like the Lord really wants to do something in this. And it doesn't matter if you're hearing this later. I really feel like the Lord wants to do something. And so whatever it is, can you lay it down? Whatever your pen in your hand, your whatever you're listening to this, whatever you're doing, can you go into a room? Let's just close our eyes. Holy Spirit, we invite you now. Whatever that deception, whatever that hurt and rejection, the loneliness, the sense of lack, finances, relationships, whatever it is that I have been holding on to so hard because I think you do not want this for me. Lord Jesus, I lay it down. Lord Jesus, I ask that you would come. Show me, Lord. Show me where I am agreeing with the enemy by thinking like this. I'm under the same deception of the eldest son. I just ask that you would reveal that those areas to us this morning. That you would bring a deeper revelation of your love, Father. A deeper revelation of your love for us this morning. Lord, we stand on your word, Lord. Lord, John 15:9. Jesus, one of Jesus' final words to us to his disciples before he was arrested, "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you." Lord Jesus, we thank you for your promise that as the Father has loved you, Jesus, Father, you love us. Just as you love Jesus, Lord, you love us. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. John 16:15. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why the Spirit, why I said the Spirit will receive from me, and what he will make known to you. John 17:10. All I have is yours, and all you have is mine. And glory has come to me through them. Lord Jesus, we thank you, God, that you say, Lord, everything that you have, Lord, that you have been given to you by the Father, you have also given to us. We are not orphans. Yes, Lord, we just thank you. We ask that you would continue to speak to us this week. Lord, I just feel like our hardened hearts, Lord, because from so many years of rejection, perceived rejection, so many years of feeling like I don't have enough, Lord, I ask that you would soften our hearts. Let us know that we have more than enough in you. We do not need to fight for our rights like the eldest son, because we have already, through the blood of Jesus Christ, been given all the rights as sons. Lord, and I pray that as we step in, as we really throw off all these lies of the enemy, as you take us deeper and just really cut off all those roots, Lord. Go deeper in our hearts, Lord. And those thought patterns we have, the wrong conceptions that we have of you, as you break it off, Lord, I pray you will strengthen us in your love to have a deeper revelation of your love, so that we may step up, that we may allow your love to shine through us, and that we may become like the Father. Let's just continue in this mode for a bit longer.